Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the books of Hebrews 9 and 10, 9 and verse 1 through 10, verse 22. Hebrews 9 through 10, verse 22. Let us first sing from Psalter 109, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The offering on the altar burned, it gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear and the willing heart thou givest unto me. 1, 2, and 9 of Psalter 109.
Hebrews 9, chapter 9, and Hebrews 10, the first 22 verses. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle meet, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament, which God had enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things whereby the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put himself, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear in the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and burnt offering, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which art offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou knowest the purpose wherefore we are gathered together in this morning hour of this day, and that may be set aside in the midst of thy church here below to commemorate the giving of thine only begotten Son, not only to suffering, but even unto death, the death of the cross. and thou knowest the purpose wherefore that thou hast given him, and the purpose wherefore that he was willing to give himself, even unto death. As we have heard together in these moments, that a final sacrifice for the putting away of sin forever. But Lord, thou knowest also the hearts of each and every one of us. Then how can we profit in this morning hour and in this day when we do not feel in our hearts that burden because of our sin, when we do not feel our guilt, when we do not experience that we are debtors before thee, when the loathsomeness of the pollution of our sin that is not grievous unto us, when we do not mourn over our separation, therefore, from thee. O Lord, when all this is not a burden and not a grief of our hearts, then we have but a form in this morning hour, and then we have but a custom in our life to gather together under thy word on this Good Friday. And that it may be a good custom, but thou knowest that we need much more, oh, than we ask of thee. And when for all these weeks together that we have been looking forward unto this time, that we have been looking forward to this day, that great anti-type of that great day of atonement in the midst of thy Old Testament church. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. And when we have never known our sin in our life, and that in this morning and in these very moments, for thou art able by thy Spirit to do it, that thou would send thy Spirit from on high, and that thou may shoot thine arrows of conviction into the hearts of young and old, and that we may be given, Lord, to know what our sin is, and that we may be given truly to mourn and to grieve, therefore, and that there may come by the power of thy Holy Spirit a room and place for that great sacrifice that we may commemorate in this day. Oh, that it may not be without profit that we are gathered together in thy name and around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. When thou hast revealed that new and living way, that we hope when thou wilt give it to speak of a little in this morning, oh, that there indeed may be place for it in our midst, that there may be those who have a need to be forgiven and who have come to an end of every other way, that they do not know how that they can enter into that blessed communion with thee, except that thou would take it over from thy own sight. O Lord, then we beseech thee in this morning hour, and that thou mayst so open thy word and everlasting testimony, that thou would use us as a little instrument in thy holy fingers to give unto thy own children eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart this morning to understand. Oh, that they may be given to look once or by renewal upon thee as thou hast given thyself upon the cross. And oh, that there may be a gladdening in the heart of those that are distressed and those that are oppressed and those who have come to an end of every other way and that have experienced that old covenant is broken, and that do need that another way is opened unto them. O thou God of heaven and of earth, and thou who art able to open the eyes of the blind, and who wilt lead them in paths that they have not known. Oh, that thou may open up that path, that way in this morning hour, and wilt thou cause a joy to be experienced in their hearts of those that mourn. Remember each and every one, young and old, for when we know nothing of all these matters, then we shall only increase our punishment this day. Oh, that we may not turn away from thy word, which is calling unto us, turn ye, everyone, from your evil ways. For why would ye die? Wilt thou give attention unto the children, to the young people, that in the days of their youth they may come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Do look in this day also upon those that mourn. Thou knowest them in a special way in our community. Lord, the husband and the children, oh, that thou may uphold them from on high. When from our human standpoint, then it is so impossible. Oh, that thou may be near and dear unto them in these days, but also in all the future. Oh, teach us, young and old, to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Remember all those that are afflicted in the mind, in the body. Thou knowest where that they are this day, those that are sick and those that are not able to come up with us, those that have serious diseases, those that must go for tests. Lord, that thou may remember each and every one, and that thou may help in all their circumstances. Wilt thou gather with us in thy mercy? When in this morning hour we are gathered together, oh, may we experience a little bit of thy favor, of thy communion, of thy blessing. Oh, it is from our side so undeserved. But could it please thee to take reasons out of thyself, to look upon us in thy mercy, to give us a little strength, to give us a little wisdom, to give us that love that may burn for our fellow man traveling to a great eternity, that may be all, that all may be to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 47, stanzas 1, 4, 8, and 9. my God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. There is no extra collection, only the two regular collections this morning. 47, 1, 4, 8, and 9. congregation, the words of our text for this service in this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's word that was read to you, Hebrews chapter 10, and thereof verses 19 through 22. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So far, the words of our text, an admonition to draw near. Let us draw near. First, the foundation of this admonition that we find in the word therefore, having therefore, brethren. That is the foundation of the admonition. And second, the direction in this admonition, an admonition to draw near, the foundation and the direction in this admonition. Let us draw near. To whom? That is, to God. How is that congregation when you may hear this? Let us draw near. Is there a desire that may live in your heart that you may draw near? Children, young people, maybe this day you say, I would rather be outside playing. It is Friday. It's beautiful outside. That you would rather not be in the house of God. But we read now in our text, let us draw near. Let us draw near unto God. Is there now a people whose heart melts when you may hear this word, not of man, but this word of God, that you say, oh, if I also may only be given such a privilege that I also would be able, that I would be permitted to draw near. Sunday, we heard of a people who may not draw near. We heard of a people that had to stand, we read, afar off. That was not only that people who had to stand afar off from that Mount Sinai, when the Lord, he had given his law, but also a people who may bring their sacrifices. And yet we read that that people, they had to stand far off. What a difference. What a difference in the covenants. That is what we read here of the covenant. And then we read of two covenants. We say, what are they? Our young people, they learned that. They answered those questions last night before the consistory about two covenants. That is the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. But we read here about two other covenants. You may want to open your Bible again, children. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, verses 6, 7, and 8. And then we read an explanation of those covenants. We read in verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been made for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant, etc. In verse 13, we read in that he saith a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Thus, what are now those two covenants? That first covenant that is speaking about the Old Testament. We have heard about that in the past weeks. All of the sacrifices. But now he speaks about what is being set over against that Old Testament. And then there is a New Testament or a new covenant. Those words here meaning that same thing. And with what is that new covenant now being ushered in? How is that new covenant now ratified? When does that new covenant come into force? Well, we read that in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, it is called there, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Thus, what does the Apostle Paul speak about? A testament, then he speaks, we would say in our days, a will. When someone makes a will, then that will is not in force until that person dies. Otherwise, when that person is still alive, then that will has no force whatsoever. And thus the Apostle Paul says that that new testament, that new covenant, that is coming into force at the time that the testator dies. And thus we may commemorate in this day, Good Friday, that is now the day wherein we commemorate the death of the testator. And it is now that death of the testator, and that is bringing into force that new covenant. That new covenant over against that old covenant. Our text says now, having therefore, brethren. So then he is speaking about everything that comes before, and that's why we asked that that whole portion would be read, Hebrews 9 and that portion of Hebrews 10, because our text is referring to this. This is now the foundation of this admonition that is in our text that says, let us draw near. Thus, our text actually is the application. And then we want to see in our first thought the foundation. Why? Because if we will draw near unto God, then congregation, you understand that we must have a good foundation. What was it, children, that happened to Nadab and Abihu? They drew near, but they did not draw near on a good foundation. And we read that the fire of the Lord came out and consumed them. Thus, we need to have a good foundation in order to draw near unto God. And we heard now of that people, they stood far off. That was in that Old Testament, that was that Old Covenant. And now Paul, he is writing to the Hebrews, that is the Hebrew Christians, and he says something to them that is so different. He says to them, let us draw near. And then he speaks to them about the basis for this, the foundation for this, that we may be admonished, that we may be invited to draw near. What is that foundation? Well, what do we read in verse 17? He says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Thus, he says, there is no more sin. And if there is no more sin, then there is nothing anymore to stand between God and our soul. If there is no more sin, then it is possible, congregation, that we draw near. Who can fathom that? Because in paradise, then we read that our first parents, before sin ever came into the world, that our first parents, they may draw near unto God. Then there was no fear, but God, he came and he spoke with our first parents in that garden. And then how different that has become when sin came into the world and the Lord sent them out of that garden. And he said, because of sin, that you may no longer come near unto me. But now the Apostle Paul, then he is admonishing that people. He says, let us draw near. That is unfathomable. He says there is nothing anymore that is standing in between. Thus he says there is no more reason to fear. How is that? How is it that he says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more? Because we heard that it was different. We heard that they have brought many sacrifices. And with all those sacrifices, then we heard there still was not an end of sin. that they still could not draw near, but they had to stand afar off. Well, what does Paul say? In verse 14, he says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Do you see what word is in there? That word is perfection. He has perfected forever. Do you remember what the standard of that law of God is? Is that not a standard of perfection? Is that not the reason that you are not able to reach unto that standard? That you find it such a hopeless case for yourself that you say that you are never able to put away all of your sin. Oh, that standard of perfection, why? Because of that holiness of the Lord. And now what does Paul say? Paul says that that standard of perfection that has been reached, that has been attained. And how has it been attained? He says, by an offering. By one offering. And by a single offering. Thus he says that one offering that is able to remove all guilt, that is able to take away every debt, that one offering that is able to wash completely of all the pollution of sin, that one offering that is able to take away all the shortcomings, even of our most holy devotions. And what is that offering? Verse 5. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Congregation, what then do we see this day? Because that brazen altar that we have spoken of that had a grate, so that offering, when it was placed upon that altar, that offering was, as it were, suspended between the heavens and the earth. And so we read it. And when they came to the place that is called Golgotha, there they crucified him. There they suspended him between the heavens and the earth. There he gave himself as the great antitype of every sacrifice. And that as the great sin offering, and also as that trespass offering, that he gave himself even as that red heifer offering that we heard of, that he gave himself as a perfect devotion unto God, that whole burnt offering, that he is not turning away himself as he is going forward to give himself even unto death, that he is giving himself as that perfect peace offering. And why? Oh, that it may be declared, let us draw near. And then there is more, because then it is even as the antitype of the offerings that were made on that great day of atonement, because that day that spoke about a final sacrifice, that day that spoke about the need to remove every last transgression, every last sin. And so we see how that Good Friday, that is now the antitype of that great day of atonement, that final sacrifice after which no sacrifice would ever, ever be required by the Lord again. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, and that is to say, his flesh. Through the veil. We heard about that on Sunday, boys and girls. We heard about the need for that veil. And why? Because of the holiness of God, wherein he is dwelling in that most holy place, and the sinfulness of that people, and that they have to stand afar off from him. And then we heard about that entering in through that veil. We heard of that high priest who may go in once every year, but then he had to be washed completely. He had to be in his holy garments, and he had to go in not without blood. But now what do we read? What do we read is happening on that day, wherein that great sacrifice is being offered? Well, we read on that day that Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, that he gave up the ghost, and the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top unto the bottom. That was, congregation, a great miracle. And why? Well, that miracle, that was because of the greatness of that veil, that was likely in a similar way built as the veil of the temple in Solomon's days, which we read was in hand breadth thick. That veil that was 60 feet high, and that veil was suddenly, at the offering of that great sacrifice, rent from the top unto the bottom. Who did that? That was not the work of man. No, that was the work of God himself. And why? That is a testimony. It was a testimony of heaven itself. And what was the testimony? Well, that testimony was now that that way into the holiest that was now made manifest. Verse 6 of chapter 9, 7 and 8. We read, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. What was now the first tabernacle? Well, we heard of the tabernacle that had the holy place and the most holy. Here, the holy place, that is being called the first tabernacle. That is the one they first came into, the priest could go in there. But not, they could not go, we read here, into the second tabernacle. And now he says that that way into the holiest of all, that was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. That means that that first tabernacle was still distinguished from the second tabernacle. And as long as that veil was there, then that first tabernacle was still standing. And that means that that way into that most holy place that was not yet made manifest. And thus, in the rending of that veil, then the Lord has made the first tabernacle and the second tabernacle all to be one. And thus, the Lord, he has made manifest, he has opened up the way into what we read is called the holiest of all. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Boldness. What is that? That is liberty. That is freedom. That is what the Lord, he himself is revealing. Paul, he therefore says, let us draw near. Christ, as that great high priest, he has entered in, we read, through the veil. When? In his death. Through the veil, we read, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh veiled what? His flesh, his human nature, veiled his divinity, his divine nature. And now it is through the death of that flesh that the way that is being opened unto his divinity, his divine nature, his Father, the holiest of all, then there is no veil there anymore. Thus, in the rending of that veil, the Father himself is testifying of the absolute perfection of that one sacrifice. What did the Lord Jesus cry out? He cried out, it is finished. And then the Father, he gives his amen. And when he is rending that veil to say it in agreement with his Son, it is done, it is complete, it is finished. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. What does that mean? That word consecrate, that means to open up. Thus, Christ, he goes in as the forerunner behind that veil. And he is opening up when he is going through that veil, opening up a way for his church that they may receive freedom, that they may receive liberty into the presence of that holy God. and that is called a new and living way. A new way. Why? That speaks about the end of the old way. That is the end of all that Levitical dispensation, the end of all that Old Testament priesthood, the end of all of those sacrifices, because what is Paul saying here? He says, and their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more now. Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And so we read in verse 9, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He takes away that first testament, that first covenant, that Old Testament, that he may establish that New Testament, and that he may bring it into force, a new way. A new way over against also that old way, which is speaking about that first covenant in another sense. That was that covenant of works, that a man, he must labor to bring forth his own merit. Then he says, now there is that new way that brings an end to every other way. And that is a new way also because that sacrifice that is always new, as it were, and that is always being just offered, as it were, and that there is no sin that is able to come in between, but that offering that is always fresh, and that is what he calls the living way, and that is a life-giving way. What would happen if a man would follow that high priest in the Old Testament into the Holy of Holies? What would happen, boys and girls? He would die. He would die. He was not allowed to come there. But now, what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, now, with this sacrifice, it has all changed. Because now that veil has been rent, and a new way has been opened up, that the people, they now will follow. They will follow that high priest into that Holy of Holies. Congregation, our second thought, that is the direction that he is giving in this and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We read in verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. Oh, that high priest, that is drawing near unto God. And then he says, let us draw near. Thus, that drawing near, that is only possible that in a way of following of that high priest into that most holy place. Because he has entered in behind that veil. Thus, to go in that veil outside of him means death. But now, having him as that foundation, to follow him in, congregation, there we read here, we see how that church may now enter and may draw near unto God. What does he say? With a true heart. That is not only in with outward and superficial things. that is not only with a mere outward and customary religion, no, with a true heart, that is with a need, that we may have a desire to be near unto him, with a need through that great high priest, that we may be forgiven all our iniquity, that we may draw near with a true heart, but also with a mind, with a heart that is enlightened. That is enlightened in a special way concerning that new way. That new way. Concerning that living way. And so that is when he reveals, when he shows himself, then that heart that is enlightened in a new way, that they are not drawing near in that old way, that they are not drawing near by an old covenant, because then they experience that covenant that is broken, and that the Lord, he has brought it to an end. And then they are called to draw near in a new way, in a living way. And they are called to draw near, we read here, in the full assurance of faith. What does that mean? That is not speaking, as we often use the term, the full assurance of faith. And he is not saying here that a person must know that he has received the forgiveness of all of his sins. No. Then it is not that faith that is reflecting upon itself. But we read here of the assurance, that full assurance of faith that is receiving testimony of the Lord. That is that testimony concerning that new and that living way, that faith that believes in his word, that rests in his word, that is a full assurance of faith, that is simply receiving the Lord's word for what it is, and that believes the promise of the Lord that he has made concerning a sinful man who is approaching unto the Lord in that new and that living way. Oh, that is with that full assurance that Christ, he has paid that price for his church, and that he has passed into the heavens. Oh, to be fully assured that he is himself entered in as that great high priest. Oh, to be fully assured that sacrifice that is so complete now, that is so perfect now, and that there is nothing that can be, that there is nothing that needs to be added unto that sacrifice. Oh, to be so fully assured that the Father himself has received that sacrifice just as it was. Oh, to have that inward assurance in my heart that these things are true, because they are declared by the Holy Spirit of the Lord in his word, as so that that soul that receives freedom to draw near unto God with that faith that goes out to him in its need, out to him in all its own impossibility to bring a sacrifice that is perfect before the Lord and is up to the standard that is required by the Lord. Oh, to draw near in that full assurance of faith that is honoring to the Lord, honoring unto the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, honoring concerning the sacrifice that He Himself has given. Oh, that full assurance that is so willing to receive it now at the end of all my own offerings. Oh, to receive it now, a pardon, a forgiveness so full and so free, that is so assured that the Lord will do it because faithful is He that has promised. Oh, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is that, an evil conscience? Oh, that is a conscience that is burdened with an unforgiven guilt. And with an evil conscience, then we are not able to draw near unto God. Why? You feel it, young people, don't you? Oh, then there is fear. There is dread. And now that Old Testament Israelite, he could not draw near when he was ceremonially defiled. Then he had to be what? He had to be ceremonially cleansed. He needed to be sprinkled with the blood of those sacrifices, that he may be cleansed, that he may be brought near unto God, unto his people. And now the Apostle Paul says in the same way, spiritually, he says that that evil conscience, that conscience that is burdened with that unforgiven guilt, that needs to be sprinkled now with that blood. And that sprinkling that is received by faith in that sacrifice, that the promise of God being that He will cleanse those that are most filthy, and so that soul is delivered from that guilt of sin. And delivered from the guilt of sin, oh, then he does not fear. He had need no fear of that vengeance and that wrath of God. And so he is able, by the Spirit of the Lord, to draw near and to partake of that blessed communion. Otherwise, he would not dare to draw near. Having our bodies washed with pure water, having all our outward actions and all our outward works cleansed by the Spirit of Christ. No, not coming in a way that we continue to walk in sin, but turning away from our sin and receiving all the cleansing of the Lord, inward and outward, through that one sacrifice that was given to put away sin. Congregation, let us sing. Before we speak, a few words of application from Psalter 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. And 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235.
Thank you.
Let us draw near. How is it, congregation? How is it in your heart? How is it in my heart? Is there any such desire in our heart? Is there any such burning in our heart? That we also, that it would not always be for another, but that we also may be given to draw near, and that we may be able to enter and to have the smallest part of that blessed communion with God, that portion that belongs unto the people of the Lord. Or in the Old Testament, and then Moses said, stand far off. And now we live in such a blessed time. We live in such a privileged time. And because it is in this time that the apostle, he may declare unto us, let us draw near. And to whom does that admonition come? That comes to each and every one of us. Everyone that are under the preaching of the Word of God. O congregation, let us draw near. By nature, we have no desire. There is no burning. No, boys and girls, ask the Lord in this moment. Ask yourself in this moment before the Lord how it is. Maybe you wait. Maybe you wait for the minister to say amen, because then you say, it is done, and then we can go to play again. Oh, how is it in your heart? How will that be when we have soon to stand before the judgment seat of God? Oh, we do not have to be old. We see that now in our own community. We see that in Calgary, young people. We see that off the coast of South Korea. Or a ship full of young people. How many young people, they have lost their lives all in one moment. And then how is it with us? How will it be when we are standing before the throne of God, and when that door will go shut, and we are standing on the outside, and when we will think back to that day, that Good Friday, that the Lord, he has come to us with his word, this word that says, let us draw near. Oh, how will it be in that day? But will we be able to say, when the Lord will send us far from him forever and forever? But perhaps there are those that say, oh, I may not draw. And why not? Well, you say, I am unconverted. I am still worldly. I have a wicked heart. Oh, what was it that the Pharisees and the scribes, they had so much against the Lord Jesus for? That he sat and that he ate. publicans and with sinners. No, not to condone their sin, but that they might turn from their sin, having our bodies washed with pure water. But you say, perhaps, oh, it is true that my heart that burns within me, oh, it is true that I cannot deny that, that it is also the desire of my heart that I may partake of the blessed communion with him, that there are times that my thoughts, they are going back again to my origin, how that the Lord has created me, how that I have departed from him, and that it is the grief of my heart, that I am separated from him. But oh, how can I draw near? Because really, I don't know my sin enough. Because my sin does not sufficiently grieve me. Because I do not know it in that depth that I'm sure that it really is in my heart and in my life. I am not sufficiently humble. I still have a heart that is cleaving to the world, that is cleaving unto sin. Oh, if I could only make myself upright, if I could only make myself true, if I could only take away that hypocrisy that I feel that is living in my heart. Oh, seeking soul, would you now merit? Would you now merit something even with your repentance? Would you offer your repentance as an offering to God? Or do you seek that your repentance, that it may come to the standard of that which is perfect? Oh, what think ye then of that one offering wherein he has perfected forever them who are sanctified? And what think ye of what he declares in his own word, that where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin? You say, maybe my sin that exceeds the sin of everyone. Or you say, maybe, but you do not understand, because you cannot see within my heart. Or you do not know what is living in the deepest recesses. Or you do not know the wickedness. You do not know. Oh, we will not say it all. But, oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, what do we read in the Word of God? Oh, we can read of the declaration of the Lord Jesus himself when he is told of that son who has rebelled against his father, even the goodness of his father. And he has left him. He has departed from him. And he has wasted his substance with a riotous living. And the father he was waiting. And that father he was looking. And when that son, he is saying in his heart, I will arise and go unto my father. And I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, then we see that when he is still a great way off, then his Father already saw him. And what do we read? He ran unto him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. Oh, do we not read of the bowels of Joseph when everything that his brethren had done against him that was so wicked? And what did he say to them? He said to them, come near. Come near unto me. They did not dare. Now, why not? They didn't dare because of their own sin. But then he said it again. Come near unto me. And they did not know that from his side, that was all forgiven. But he had to reveal it unto them. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, believing. No, not that we can believe in our own strength, because when we have no essence of faith, when it is not planted, then we also cannot exercise faith. But Paul says there is only one way. There is only one way to receive it. That is to draw near in that full assurance of faith. To believe. To believe what? To believe that you are converted. To believe that you are one of God's elect, to believe that you are forgiven, to believe that you are justified, to believe that you are one of God's people? No. No, it can be that you cannot believe any of all this. But only believing. Oh, as you believe, how wretched and miserable that you are. Then only believing what he is declaring in his word. Only believing the truth of it concerning that new way, concerning that living way. Oh, believing that final sacrifice that is now offered. And that final sacrifice that is a complete sacrifice, so that there is no more offering for sin. Oh, believing that it is accepted unto by the Father for the guilt of sin, for the debt of sin, for the pollution of sin, and for every sin, even of our most holy duties, and believing that every other sacrifice that is rejected by the throne of God, by that mercy seat, as an offense, when we have no need for his sacrifice. Oh, believe that veil is rent. Rent from the top to the bottom. And that great high priest, he has entered in. That great high priest over the house of God. And that the Father himself, he gives that freedom. Freedom for sinners to enter in unto the holiest by the blood of Jesus, O believing that to draw near is no presumption. No presumption, because it is a new way. It is a living way, and it is a way that is consecrated by God Himself. Oh, believing therefore that no sinner, great or small, is rejected who draws near through that living way. Oh, congregation, is it not sufficient? Is it not sufficient for the chiefest of sinners? No. No. Then they do not need to fear to draw near. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Oh, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Assurance. Assurance of what? Assurance that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the need of every heart. Oh, thou knowest that we have from our side no desire to draw near. But thou knowest that thou also givest in the heart of thy children that desire, that longing, that they may draw near. Oh, they do not know how to draw near. And they do not know how to come unto thee. Open their eyes and to show them that new and that living way. Oh, give unto them a little freedom, and that they may see it as a way and that is consecrated, that is opened up by thee, and that they may receive a little of that blessed communion and that peace that passes all understanding. Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake, amen. 419, stanza 2. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. Let us sing also the third stanza, 2 and 3 of Psalter 419. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.